This important podcast is brought to you by the Health Ranger Store, offering a wide selection of prepping and survival products, including nutritional solutions and storable certified organic superfoods. Check out our full selection at healthrangerstore.com/prep with Mike. Thank you for your support. Let's do a little bit of deductive reasoning here. If the coronavirus is loose and spreading in China, and if the Chinese authorities have declared quarantines and begun enforcing quarantines, now, in fact, affecting 56 million people in 10 different cities and suburbs in China. And if that virus has now spread to America, which it has, confirmed by the CDC, at least three cases that we know of, obviously probably hundreds more that we don't yet know of, then could there be, this is where the logic comes in, could there be quarantines of U.S. cities? Obviously, if the coronavirus continues to spread and we have a lot more cases and a lot more concern, could there be quarantines in U.S. cities? And the answer, of course, is, well, yeah, obviously there could be. So right there, you've lost 99% of Americans, because for some reason, it seems like almost no one living today is able to think ahead just one step. That's just one step. You know, I'm known for thinking ahead 10 steps. And this is why people are sometimes, you know, at first they're like, what are you talking about? And then 3 years later, when it all happens, they're like, how did you know? if I were a chess player, I would be the chess player that thinks 10, you know, steps ahead. It's just my neurology. It's just who I am. But the average person cannot think one step ahead. So they're sitting in their American cities, even in Seattle, for example, where we know this outbreak has already shifted to. There's a patient zero in Seattle with the coronavirus in a hospital, an unnamed hospital, no doubt infecting hospital staff as we speak. And those staff members are going home and infecting their family members and so on. And yet people who live in Seattle are not thinking that their city might be subjected to a quarantine order. Now, how can that be? And the answer is, people aren't that bright. People don't prepare. People don't plan ahead, by and large. So that's one step. Let's go to two steps, shall we? Together, we'll hold hands and we'll hop and skip and take that leap together like a kindergarten jump roping game or something. Let's take that leap together. I don't mean to be condescending. I'm making fun of people who are unable to take that leap. Let's take the second leap. What would happen if there were quarantines of U.S. cities such as Seattle? Immediately, of course, food shortages, medicine shortages, water shortages, all kinds of supplies. Because as you may recall, we covered the truckers.com announcement from last year, which really didn't get much play out there in the media, but we covered it. The president of the truckers.com group, I forgot the name of the group, they've got more than 50,000 members who are truckers that drive supplies into the Walmarts and the grocery stores and the Target stores, you know, all around the country. They said that when things go bad, we are not going to be delivering supplies into cities where it's a danger for our truck drivers. And you can't blame them, by the way. And I have a special, I don't know what you call it, affection for truck drivers, or sympathy or empathy. Maybe that's a better term. Truck drivers, most of them are men, and it's a tough life. It is a very tough life. And truck drivers are survivors. They're adaptive. They work with their hands more than you would think. They're not just sitting in a chair with a steering wheel all day. Truck drivers are under intense stress, intense pressure. Truck drivers put their lives at risk, even right now, going into certain cities, unknown areas. Truck drivers have been hijacked and dragged out of their trucks and beaten half to death if they get into the wrong area. Truck drivers are survivors, and truck drivers are not going to risk their lives to deliver goods to cities that are under quarantine. Just so you know. Ask any truck driver, maybe some of you listening to this, maybe you are truck drivers or you have a driver in your family. You know, they're not going to go into a quarantine where there's an outbreak of some coronavirus. No way. Especially since maybe if you manage to get in, you probably can't get out. Because a lot of the quarantine rules are, you know, supplies can come in, but no one can leave. So who's going to go into that? No, not going to happen. So you're going to have supply shortages, right? Okay, so that's two steps of thinking ahead. Shall we take the leap to the third step? I know. This is like if Ocasio-Cortez was listening to this, her head would now explode. Three steps ahead. Ah! She would just giant. There'd be Ocasio-Cortex brain matter on the walls because her head exploded. That's what would happen. But thinking three steps ahead, what happens when there are, well, let's say empty shelves on the stores? Empty shelves. People can't get food, water, fuel, medicine. Their local pharmacy has run out of their antidepressants. What happens to people in that situation? Oh, you get a breakdown of the rule of law. You get chaos. You get looting. You get robberies. You get hijackings, well, carjackings typically, and truck jackings more specifically. You get home invasions. So you immediately have this massive increase in crime. So then in cities like Seattle or, God forbid, Los Angeles, you already have police forces that are way overmanned, overpowered, overrun, nearly, in most cases. And, you know, God bless the cops, the men and women in blue, because they put their lives on the line and they help keep societies civil. And yet, when everything breaks down and the gangs just start looting and just hitting neighborhoods and carjackings, any American city like that, especially sort of a high density left-wing city like Seattle or what have you, is going to be almost instantly overrun by criminality. You will have virtually no 911 response for emergencies, even perhaps shootings or robberies, murder and such. So you're going to have a breakdown in society. And sadly, these breakdowns tend to feed upon themselves. So the minute the gangbangers and hoodlums realize that this breakdown is accelerating, they say to themselves, guess what? The cops can't respond. Let's go out and loot. Let's go steal big screen TVs, because I don't know why they love big screen TVs and sneakers. So they'll go out and steal a pair of Nikes or Adidas sneakers for some reason. Really? They loot all the wrong things because they're morons, but that's what they will do. And some of them will do home invasions and they'll go into neighborhoods and they will start trying to steal gold or jewelry or cash or guns, you know, a lot of firearms, ammunition. Some of them will commit violence and attempted rapes and murders and so on. That's three steps ahead, okay? So now we're talking about really tertiary effects or third level effects, and there are a lot of them at this three-step stage. Another one, by the way, I don't have time to go into them all, is we start having outbreaks of infectious disease that are not even related to the original pandemic. Because what happens when people don't have supplies and then we start having starvation, if it goes on long enough, that is, you get people flooding into the hospitals. And in the hospitals, that's where you start really seeing the exponential spread of disease. It happens in every pandemic. The hospitals are the hubs of infections. And hospital staff typically do not have really good safety standards. If you've ever worked in a hospital, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But they don't wash their hands as they should. They're not wearing the right protective gear. They don't know how to use the protective gear or even take it off safely without reinfecting themselves. You know, a person will wear a mask, and then they'll take off the mask, and they'll touch their eye with the same hand that they just used to remove their mask. I'm like, well, you just infected yourself, right? In fact, I'm going to do an interview with a very knowledgeable individual about biohazard gas masks and such and how to properly decontaminate before removing them. We're going to do that whole interview here soon. A guy who has a lot of knowledge in that area and can save a lot of lives. So in any case, hospitals tend to spread disease in a big way. And then you're going to have, you know, fourth step effects and fifth step effects and so on. And it gets bad very quickly. So think about this. Think about what's happening. Think about the fact that if this gets out of control in the United States of America, we could start to see cities getting quarantined in America. And if cities get quarantined in America, you are going to see society start to break down in ways, and supply chains will break down in ways that you'd better be prepared for, because otherwise you'll have no food, no medicine, no backup plan as the pandemic gets worse, and you'll be under essentially martial law in your city. So think about that. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Read my website, naturalnews.com. And also, of course, check out Brighteon.com, where you can hear my podcasts. Brighteon.com, the YouTube alternative for free speech. And stay informed. Get ready. This is not a simple situation by any means. It is not a safe situation. Bad things are happening. And you're not going to be told the truth by the mainstream media. You can count on that. And they're working double time to try to censor the rest of us who are telling you the truth. So stay informed. Thank you for your support. Stay safe. Get ready. Get prepared. Just in case this thing goes really wild as a global pandemic. When it comes to prepping, you not only need good products that can help keep you alive, awake, aware, and nourished during difficult times, you also need products you can trust. At the Health Ranger store, we do extensive laboratory testing using an in-house lab that's ISO accredited. It's inspected, it's audited. It's a 2-year process to even get that accreditation. We use multiple mass spec instruments, state-of-the-art science. I'm a published science author as well and a patent holder on several technologies, some of which we use variations of in our lab. The purpose of this lab is to help you make sure you get clean foods, superfoods, storable foods for emergency preparedness and survival use. We have a certified organic lab-tested, what's called Ranger Bucket collection of storable foods with some survival gear in the buckets to help you even boil water and cook those foods and so on. It's a fantastic product. We can barely keep it in stock even during normal times. In a crisis, we'll be wiped out of this product because it actually takes us a lot of time to make those products. But if they're in stock, you can get them now at healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike. In fact, go to that URL, healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike, and you'll see some of our survival and preparedness supplies, including iodine, colloidal silver products, and gel first aid products, storable foods, superfoods, medicinal herbs for first aid, and much more. We have a lot of products for you to help you be self-reliant, to be safe, to survive difficult circumstances, natural disasters, and all kinds of things. If you want to get prepared, do it with us at the Health Ranger store so that you know you're getting safe, clean, laboratory-verified preparedness foods, supplements, and other related products. Again, the URL is healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike. All one word, no spaces. Prep with Mike. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for your support.